Lord, we do seek your guidance for the day, and we are grateful for the grace that is poured out in abundance because you not only hear our prayers, but you answer our prayers, and you give us exactly what we need. You give us a time to worship together. You give us a time to encourage one another. You give us the time to pour out our difficulties and share our griefs with one another. And what you do, Lord, is you give us hope and peace in place of despair. You give us joy in place of our fears. And so we thank you, O God, that you meet with us, your very loved people. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Joshua chapter 4 this morning, and this is not a change in series. We're going through Galatians. It's been a little bit since we were in Galatians. We will return, Lord willing, next week to Galatians chapter 5. But this morning we're in Joshua chapter 4, and it's a passage about remembering and proclaiming. And so that is the sermon title this morning, and it is in conjunction with our 66th anniversary Sunday. Honolulu Bible Church started on February 14th, 1956, when two men, Mr. Splinter, and who was a resident of Pololo Valley, married to, of course, Mrs. Splinter, and that's the only way we knew them. George and Esther, we never said that. It was always Mr. and Mrs. Splinter, lived at Hardesty and 8th Avenue. So right down the street from here, if you take a left at the Jesus Coming Soon Church, and then take another left, and the first right, at the end of that corner, there stands what used to be their house, now belongs to somebody else. But that's where the Splinters lived. And Reverend Blummerly, so Mr. Splinter and Reverend Blummerly, who was a missionary with the United Faith Mission, they established a Bible study at the Splinters' home. And 2 months later, they had their first business meeting, and they adopted the name Honolulu Bible Church. God was at work in a very great way, and as we celebrate today, we don't forget that these men are not to be exalted as such. They are men, but we celebrate the fact that as simple servants following God, it allowed for God to do a very great work among His people. So we remember these things, and we proclaim these things, that these men had been obedient, were obedient to follow the leading of the Lord, and the Lord opened all the doors and brought His people in. This is the faithfulness of God. So Joshua chapter 4 this morning, the people there are going through a very significant event, and they are told to remember and proclaim. They were to remember and proclaim what God had done in establishing them, leading them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, out of the wilderness, and into the promised land. There is a danger in forgetting what God has done and what God is doing. And when we say it's dangerous to forget, we're not talking about lost keys, although that can be a bummer, or forgotten birthdays, or forgotten anniversaries, or don't forget Valentine's Day tomorrow, unless you don't celebrate, that's fine too. But the danger is in forgetting God. And that's what we need to proclaim. That's what we need to remember. Because that forgetting of God leads to disobedience. Consider the Israelites in the wilderness. They got to the edge of the promised land, but they didn't cross over because of their disobedience. So forgetting can lead to disobedience. Forgetting God can also lead to pride. We think that we have done this by my power, by my hand, I have done this. Look what we have done to get us this far. And we puff ourselves up, and that's the danger of forgetting. It leads to pride instead of remembering that God is the giver of all good gifts. Forgetting can also lead to discouragement. The Israelites once grumbled, "Oh, we should have stayed in Egypt." It was better to serve the Egyptians than to come out here and die in the wilderness. And that was their cry to God. They were discouraged because they had forgotten that it was God who brought them out of Egypt. They had forgotten their groaning that was raised up to God that delivered them out of Egypt. Forgetting can lead to discouragement. Forgetting can also lead to not proclaiming to future generations about what God has done and what God is doing, which means that the future generations would be in trouble of forgetting and disobeying and being prideful and discouraged. So the admonition that we're given in God's Word is to remember and proclaim. Specifically in this passage, the Israelites are going to set up stones of remembrance, memorial stones. And it's done to commemorate the great work of God, bringing them out of Egypt and out of the wilderness. And when your children ask, this is what God tells them, Joshua tells them, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Then you're to remember what they mean and you're to proclaim what they mean. The great acts of God. Remember and proclaim the great acts of God. So if you have your Bible, please open to Joshua 4, 1 through 9. I will read it. So if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. Or if you just want to listen, that is fine as well. But know that this is God's Word and it is precious. It is given to us as an act of grace and it's given to us for our good. Joshua 4, verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. That's the river that separated the wilderness from the promised land. When all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. Verse 4, then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what did these stones mean to you? Verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. 2 points this morning, and I've already said it, you might have picked up on it. It's remember, point number one, and proclaim. Remember and proclaim. Point number one, remember, the Israelites were very symbol-oriented. And you could say that just about any group of people. The Americans are very symbol-oriented. We have special days that we celebrate, Memorial Day, birthdays, anniversaries. We have certain days that we celebrate. We have memorial statues or monuments that we go to and we remember certain things. But it was so much so for the Hebrews. Even their name, Hebrews, was symbolic because the name Hebrews means people from the other side of the Jordan. So very significant. Even in their name, the Hebrews, people from the other side of the Jordan. So God had promised the descendants of Abraham, who are the Hebrews or the Israelites, same thing, same group of people. God had promised to them a rich inheritance on the east side of the Jordan River. Here in Joshua chapter 4, the people are on the west side of the Jordan River, having come out of the wilderness on the west side of the Jordan, and they're going to cross over the Jordan to the eastern side where God had promised them. So as they cross over, they are literally the people from the other side of the river. So that's commemorated in their name, the Hebrews. And the place that they camp out after they cross the Jordan River is called Gilgal, and that's not found till verse 19. And you can just skim down to verse 19 and you'll see the name Gilgal. That's where they're setting up this memorial of stones. So the chosen men carry the stones out of the river and bring it to the place where they camp, and that place is Gilgal. Gilgal means the reproach is rolled back. The reproach is rolled back. That's significant. So as the waters roll back, right, the Jordan River stops flowing. As the river is rolled back, so is their reproach from slavery, their reproach from being in the wilderness, wandering for 40 years. All of that rolls back. Salvation is theirs. The promised inheritance is theirs. They leave the slavery in Egypt. They leave the rebellion in the wilderness. And the reproach is gone. It's rolled away. The reproach is rolled back. They've entered the promised land. So you have these symbolic names. Hebrews, people from the other side of the Jordan. Gilgal, the reproach is rolled back. But more than just symbolic names, they have these rituals and monuments. Throughout the Old Testament, you read about these different things that they were to build and to set up in their midst. One of those very important things is the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark is a box or a container. And more than what it contained and what it looked like, although that was very important, it symbolized the presence of God. It symbolized His holiness, His justice, His mercy, His leading, the very fact that He was with them. That's represented in the Ark of the Covenant. And in verse 7, the writer makes sure, it's probably Joshua, writing the book of Joshua, he makes sure to tell the people it was the Ark of the Covenant that goes in first. And as soon as they step into the river, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the waters roll back. Do not forget, people of God. This is what it was. Do not forget, people of God, that it's the presence of the Lord that rolls away the waters of the Jordan. Don't forget that it's the presence of the Lord that rolls away your reproach. There were other symbols that were very important to them, and you might remember Passover. That's an Israelite custom that they were to celebrate year after year, and it originated from their deliverance out of Egypt when they were to paint. They were to sacrifice a lamb, and they were to take the blood of the lamb and paint it on their doorposts, and the death angel would pass over their homes because the sacrifice, a death, had been substituted in their place. But those who didn't have the substitute, didn't have the blood, death would come to their household. And they were to commemorate that every year, and they were to sacrifice a lamb to remember God's deliverance of them out of slavery in Egypt. So it was an important thing. In today's passage, the great act of God is stopping the Jordan River so that they can go across on dry land. Does this sound familiar? Of course, because God opened the Red Sea and they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. That was when they were fleeing the Egyptians. This is 40 years later. Because they had come to this point before, but they had rebelled against God. And God said, okay, this generation is going to die in the wilderness. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they're in the same place. Will they rebel against God's chosen leader? Now it's Joshua. Moses has died. Will they rebel against him or will they listen? And what they say is interesting. If you understand, they said to Joshua, as we obeyed Moses, we obey you. Oh, that's awesome. Because they didn't obey Moses. Are they saying, you know, as we think we did a pretty good job? No. They're going to obey Joshua to a degree. And we'll see that again because we're sinful people. But despite our sins, the faithfulness of God is there again and again and again. I mean, we make silly promises like, God, I promise to be faithful this week if you will only do this one thing for me. Give me that job that I want. And we think that it's a merit to be earned. The grace of God is something to be earned. That is a misunderstanding of grace. Grace, by definition, is unmerited favor. And the reason that these people of God crossed over the Jordan River is not because they had been good. It's because God is gracious. And that's what they are to remember. So it's not a tribute to Joshua. It's not a tribute to the now departed Moses. But this is a remembrance of what God has done, and it's commanded by God for them to do. So it's a symbol of God's power. Great acts of God ought to be remembered. So this memorial was a visual cue for them. God stopped the Jordan River. God allowed them safe passage out of the desert. Do you remember, Christian, when you were transferred from the wilderness into the promised land? Do you remember when you were taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light? For some of you, it might have been within these four walls. Or maybe for some of you, it was in the other place our church was, at 1635 A Palolo Avenue, right next to the Hongguanji. Maybe it was there. That's where it was for me. Maybe it's in the home you now live, or maybe it's in the home where you grew up and it's no longer part of your family. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What we remember is that God delivered us out of darkness into light, from death into life. So maybe you know the exact day, the exact place, the exact time, and the people that were there with you. Maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. What's important to know is this, that you believe in Jesus Christ, that once you were lost, now you are found. Once you were dead in sin, and now you are alive in Christ. Don't forget, because that is the power of God. And there are times when we doubt. There are times when we struggle. There are times when we don't understand, but we have to remember that it is God who delivered us in the past, and He will be faithful to deliver us in the future as we come to any struggles or trials in life. It was not your power that granted you this time with God, this life with God. It was God who gave you that power. So He will not only bring you in, but He will keep you. Our gracious God gives us these reminders. But let's go back to our text, Joshua chapter 4. As the chapter opens, the people are standing at the Jordan River. They had been staring at this river, and it's overflowing. And we don't really have rivers like this in Hawaii. You know, Palolo Stream, you can just walk right through it if you want to. I don't think you'd want to. You look at the Alawai, and yeah, you don't want to cross it, but it's not like it's flowing. This is a big flowing river, and they're staring at it for 3 days, and they have this obstacle in front of them. How do we get from here to there? How do we become the people from the other side of the river? But Joshua had told them, prepare yourselves, see what the Lord will do. Then, as the Ark of the Covenant is carried and the priests step into the water, the waters are rolled back. The mighty act of God. Imagine a million or so people crossing the Jordan River on dry land. The people are flooding through where the waters were once flooding through. And as the people crossed, the Ark of the Covenant just stood there with the priests. And then when the people had crossed over, the priests moved across to the other bank. And as soon as they stepped on the opposite bank, down came the waters once again. The overflowing of the river once again. And that's the picture that we're given in Joshua. And in the verses that we read, we have some of these in-between details filled in for us. In chapter 3, Joshua was told to choose 12 men. Now we know why. Maybe they were told why, maybe they weren't. But in chapter 3, we weren't told why. Then in chapter 4, now we know what they're chosen to do. You're going to have to pick up a big rock. One man from each tribe. Take it out of the Jordan River and bring it to the camp. This is not Joshua, you know, the leadership of Joshua. Maybe you could write a book on the leadership of Joshua and how he, you know, had this great vision for a memorial. No, this is not Joshua. This is God's idea. This is God's command. Joshua is not exalting, look what I have done in leading you. He is exalting God by obedience. Sometimes we think, oh man, what great things can I do for God? We know what they are. It's obedience. And when you think about the catechism and the questions that come with the catechisms for kids, it's, you know, why do you exist? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Okay, glorify God. That's what I'm going to do. How do I glorify God? By loving Him and keeping His commandments. It's not some spectacular thing. Well, actually, it is pretty spectacular when somebody obeys God. But that's what it boils down to. It's simply that. How do I glorify God? I love Him and I keep His commandments. Well, how do I learn how to love God? How do I learn to obey God? It's in His Word. Holy men of God were moved as the Spirit gave them what to write down. And we know what to do, how to glorify God by reading His Word. So it's all there for us. And this is what Joshua demonstrates to us. Obedience. Obedience. And what he set up was not an Egyptian obelisk. If you've ever been to Egypt, I've never been to Egypt. Maybe you saw the pyramids, and this is, you know, you're supposed to look at the pyramids and go, wow, what a great pharaoh this was that did this. Or those, the Sphinx. Oh, what a great pharaoh this was. Or the obelisk, you know, those really tall pillars that they set up. And people are to stand in awe of the power and the technology that the Egyptians had or some whatever. These objects that inspire worship. That's not what this is. These are 12 simple stones taken from the Jordan River. It's not spectacular in and of themselves, but a simple symbol to remind them of obedience and power. Their obedience and God's power. They were to remember that they were obedient because the previous generation didn't obey. You know what they wanted to do, right? They got to the Jordan River and they're like, we're not going over there. Those people are way too strong for us. We need a leader to take us back to Egypt. And so they set up a leader and they said, we're going to follow him back to Egypt. And then God punished them and they said, okay. We'll go into the promised land. Lead us into the promised land. And they start to forge ahead. But by that time, God had made a different command. No, you're going to wander in the wilderness. No, we're going to go into the promised land. You see, it was just disobedience. First to go back and then to go forward. When God said to go forward, they wanted to go back. When God said go back, they wanted to go forward. This is us. You see yourself in that mirror? When God says one thing, we want to do the other. The power of the law, right? Oh, thank you, God, that we are not under the law, but under grace. and the power of the law is broken. Now we love the law of God. We desire to walk in His ways. This previous generation didn't obey. The new generation desires to obey. Remember that obedience. When God said, cross the Jordan, they crossed the Jordan. When God said, don't touch the ark, only the priests with the poles could touch the ark, that's what they did. When God said, follow the Ark of the Covenant, they followed the Ark of the Covenant. Whatever God commanded is what they wanted to do. So this pile of rocks taken from the Jordan River would remind them of their obedience. They're also to remember God's power. Teaching people to follow God is not an easy task. Teaching people to be obedient is not an easy task. And just ask my mom. Apart from a divine work of God, there is no obedience. We mentioned this in our study of Galatians a few weeks ago. Even when the world, who does not know God, is obedient to something that God has commanded, that's a gift of God. That is called common grace. The very fact that your neighbors are nice is common grace. The very fact that people follow traffic signals, for the most part, is an act of common grace. This is all God. And as Christians, this is what we're to acknowledge. This is the grace of God. And then to His people, He gives saving grace. And so to say this is, apart from God, that there is no good thing, that's absolutely true. So we need to remember that God does many great things. And one of those great things is that there was once a time we had no desire to walk in the ways of God, and now we do. That's saving grace. That's an act of grace that brings the dead to life. It's an act of grace that makes the sinner turn from his sin and turn to the way of righteousness. So we stop and pause. We pause and reflect for a little moment here to ask this question, am I a follower of God? Am I one who has been given eyes to see the beauty of Jesus? Then remember it. Mark it and remember it. It is only true because God has done His work of bringing the dead to life, of making a rebellious sinner obedient and faithful. We now desire to follow the Shepherd of Love, Jesus Christ. So just like they are to remember the power of God to make them followers of God, followers of Joshua, we are to remember God's power to make us His followers, to help us desire obedience. Also, they're to remember the power of God to stop the flood. If you've ever been to the Hoover Dam, that is an incredible feat. And you can read stories about the work that it took to build not only the Hoover Dam, but many dams throughout the United States and probably the world. And we go, well, dams can stop rivers. Man can divert the flow of water. But not the way that God did. God, at will, stopped the Jordan River at flood stage from flowing. And God, at will, restarts that water flowing. He didn't have to draw out a plan. He didn't have to raise funds. He didn't have to get EPA approval. He didn't have to do any of that. He doesn't even have to speak. All He has to do is will it, and the water stops. And all He has to do is will it, and the water flows once again. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey Him? This is the power of God. And there's another thing to see. If you have your Bible open to Joshua 4, go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 10. There it says that by this, the drying up of the river, that you will know that God is among you and that He will without fail drive out all your enemies. If God can make you obedient, and if God can stop the river and bring you into the promised land, God can and will drive out all of your enemies who are before you. And I think what's on the KQ worksheet this morning are the walls of Jericho. That's the first city that they're going to see when they come in. And they're going to go, oh man, God brought us across the river to face this walled, fortified city. And Joshua is once again going to say, remember the power of the Lord. All we're going to do is obey Him, and you will see the faithfulness of God. So remember that God changes our lives. Remember that God can stop and start rivers. Remember that God is with you, chapter 3:10 says. God is among you, and He will drive out all your enemies. So apply that to your life, Christian. And you go, well, I don't face fortified, walled cities. I don't stand before a raging river that I want to cross. But our sins are like this raging river in our lives. And sometimes we get caught in that riptide, that current, that flow. And we feel like we can't get out of it. And we're in these rapids and we're not even in a boat. And we're just drowning in our sins. Who can deliver us? The Lord our God. Stop the river. Cry out to Him. Call out to Him. How do we know that? Because He's already done it. He's delivered us from the grasp of sin. And He's given us new life. We will never lose what God has given us, because not only does He save us, He keeps us. He will keep us from drowning in our sins. Jesus says, I will never lose anyone that the Father has given to me. It's not our power. You know, you can only hang on for so long. But Jesus can hang on forever. He says, I will never lose any that the Lord, the Father, has given me. So remember our obedience and remember God's power to give us that obedience and to deliver us. Second point is proclaim. Another way to say that is teach future generations to remember. Teach others to remember. Remember yourself and teach others to remember. To do that, we teach or we proclaim. Look at verses 5 and 6. This memorial that is set up is meant to be an object lesson. Joshua writes, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? So this simple pile of stones, not a great obelisk or not a great pyramid. When they say, why are these stones here? When your children ask, teach them. When your children ask, proclaim to them. This is not a sentimental journey. This is not a simple, like, nostalgic trip down memory lane for them. You know, when I go to Chicago, where I spent some time in college, I love walking down in downtown Chicago. It reminds me of those carefree college days, and I always go to Jay's Dog and Burger, and I eat a hamburger there, and it just reminds me of my college years. That's not what this is. That's not what these stones are for. That's not what church is for. That's not what the Lord's table is for. That's not what baptism is for. It's not just, you know, a nostalgic thing. These stones are not an object of worship either. And that's probably why it's not a giant pyramid. 12 simple stones to point to one who is great and awesome, and that is God every act of God is to be remembered. And here was a very great and unusual act of God, their obedience and their deliverance into the promised land. Just as we are obedient in following God, so we are to teach our children to be obedient following God. Verse 7 says, "Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord." Tell them about the priests. Tell them about the stones. Tell them about how the water stopped. Tell them about God's great power. Tell them how when we got to the other side, it started again. Tell them about the power of God. If you skip down to verse 24, you're going to see that this wasn't just a command for our children, our own families. But this is what it says in verse 24, "that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty." That all the peoples of the earth may know. You're not fulfilling some kind of ritual to earn something when you put a little bit of money or a lot of money into the offering plate. It is an act of worship. It is also a fulfilling of what we're told here. That all the peoples of the earth may know. That money you put in the offering plate goes to the furthering of God's word in this ministry here at Honolulu Bible Church, and also the ministry of the Hawks in Uruguay and the Mitas in Japan, and our other missionaries in Africa and the Philippines and Thailand and other places. This is what we're doing. We're proclaiming the power of God. People of God throughout the ages have been faithful to go out into the world. And maybe that's not your calling. Maybe it is. Maybe it is. If it isn't your calling, there's nothing wrong with staying here. There's nothing wrong with getting a job and living in Hawaii. But it's wrong if you don't, where you are, proclaim the power of God. And so we ought to proclaim the power of God in whatever our calling is, whether called to the marketplace or called to the mission field. We're to proclaim. Proclaim the mercy and love of God. Proclaim the power of God. So this morning, we're taking some time to remember. You know, we don't have a pile of stones, but we do have a building. And if you look around, you can see the bricks in the building. And some of you were here when this building was being constructed. And you can go downstairs and look at some of the pictures of how those houses were down here. And how the hillside was graded and leveled. And how the houses were moved up on flatbed trucks. And how this church came up brick by brick by brick. Some of you maybe recall with nostalgia painting the church inside and out. You know, we were involved in that. Some of you remember certainly giving money as a faith promise, you know, to say we want to see this building built. We want to see this property belong to Honolulu Bible Church. We need a bigger place and God will provide that for us. But if it's just nostalgia, if it's just sentimental, then you're going to go, "Wow, look at what we did." And that's it. That's where it's going to end. That's not the point. We need to see the power of God who built His church, not bricks, but living stones. He's building His church. Here in Palolo Valley, He builds His church. And throughout the world, He builds His church. What if Mr. Splinter and Mr. Blummerly were not obedient? What if the subsequent pastors, and there's a long history of pastors, some stayed longer than others, what if they hadn't contributed to the work? What if My dad, Pastor Hopper Sr., didn't pack up his family and move here from Puerto Rico to minister for 20-some years. What if Pastor Bob hadn't left Canada by way of Florida to come to Hawaii and minister for another 20 years and teach with such passion the doctrines of grace? We don't know the what ifs. And I'm not saying, this would have never happened. No, God does what He does according to His will. God gave these ordinary men the grace to obey, so that this little C, church, is part of God's bigger plan for the capital C, Livingstone's Bride of Christ Church, made up of God's people. A little C church building, but more importantly, God's bigger plan for His bride, His church. So today we're remembering and we're proclaiming. That's why we celebrate, not to exalt any person in particular, but to remember and proclaim the greatness of our God. 66 years, God's faithfulness, continuing to bring men and women out of the wilderness of the world and into union with Jesus Christ. God has done great and mighty things to make us faithful men and women who desire desire to be obedient to Him. We are the children of God. We're concerned with His ways. We're full of love for His people because He has saved us and brought us together. Remember that. Proclaim that to the next generation and proclaim that message to the world. So may God continue to use us here in Palolo Valley as He sees fit, and perhaps, and this is from a quote from Pastor Guy when he wrote a history of the church way back when, I don't remember, in the 80s or 90s maybe. He says, and may God continue to use us as He sees fit, and perhaps we will continue to remember and proclaim the greatness of our God at our, and at the time, I think he said 50th anniversary. Let's change that. Maybe, perhaps, God will continue to see fit to cause us to remember and proclaim into the 70th anniversary and the 80th anniversary. And if God wills, the 100th anniversary. May God give us the grace and strength to remember and proclaim until He comes again. Thank you, Father, for this great day of joy. To remember what you have done, to see what you are doing, and to know that you are continuing to move your people forward. Thank you, O God, for all of these truths. Holy Spirit, continue to do your work. Bring people in. Cause your church to grow. In Jesus' name, amen.